Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our spring membership drive. Talk more about that in just a few minutes. But first, a few years ago, conventional medical doctors either ridiculed or just didn't know much about alternative medicine, massage, herbal and meditative strategies, for example, and its role in a healthy lifestyle. Now the Mayo Clinic has addressed the topic in its second edition of the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. Joining us today to talk about the role of alternative medicine and how it can be integrated with conventional medicine is Dr. Brent Bauer. Dr. Bauer is the director of the Complementary and Integrative Medicine Program at Mayo Clinic. He's an associate professor of internal medicine and has been on the staff at Mayo for 13 years. Dr. Bauer also is the medical editor-in-chief of the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bauer.
Well, good morning, and thanks for having me on, Ann.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive, and this is a listener-supported public radio station. We depend on you to make our drive a success. Please make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour is $3,000, and we can meet this goal with your help. The number, 1-866-897-9678, or go online at WOSU.org. And with a pledge of support at the $150 level, our thank you gift to you is the book Mayo Clinic, Book of Alternative Medicine. This book integrates the best of natural therapies with conventional medicine. Make a pledge of $150 right now. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Give what you can. We appreciate any level of support that you can manage. 1-866-897-9678. And once again, my guest this hour is Dr. Brent Bauer. He is the director of the Complementary and Integrative Medicine Program at Mayo Clinic, and he's the medical editor-in-chief of the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. Dr. Bauer, the Mayo Clinic is a world-famous healthcare facility, but it's also had a long-time receptiveness, I guess, to alternative and complementary therapies for wellness and prevention. Where did that tradition of receptiveness come from?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. We've been offering acupuncture here at Mayo since about 1974. So I think you're right. There has been an early adoption type of approach. And I think that comes from our core value. The Mayo Clinic's core value is that the needs of the patient comes first. And when you look at patients and the things we can offer from conventional medicine, it's fantastic and wouldn't give it up for anything. But a lot of times, even with the best of conventional medicine, we can't meet all the needs. Sometimes there's still pain. Sometimes there's still sleeplessness or fatigue. And so as complementary and alternative medicine started to come on the scene more and more in the last 10 or 20 years, we've really taken a great interest because our patients are interested, and we want to be able to help them make wise choices about what to use and what not to use.
Besides the book, but just in general, how does the Mayo Clinic go about deciding whether an alternative therapy is something that the clinic will embrace as a policy?
We've always focused, first of all, on whatever our patients are using a lot of. So, for example, we know a lot of our patients are using acupuncture and massage. Mm-hmm. So we've done a lot of studies here at Mayo. Not that we don't believe other studies, but we always want to see how things work in our setting, in our hospitals, in our clinics, and then kind of look at the outcomes. And when we find positive outcomes and we don't find evidence of harm and there's things that can meet our patients' needs, then they've been rapidly incorporated. So we now offer massage, acupuncture, training and guided imagery, meditation, and so forth as part of our routine care.
Again, my guest is Dr. Brent Bauer. He is director at Mayo Clinic of the Complementary and Integrative Medicine. If you want to talk to Dr. Bauer, you can do that by calling 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to wosu.org/allsides and talk to us via Facebook. You go to our new webpage and check that out. What do we mean, Dr. Bauer, by complementary therapies or integrative medicine? What are they? What's the difference between them?
Well, it's a great opportunity to talk about even the title of the book. Why do we call it the Book of Alternative Medicine? I think that's an old term, And we were kind of conflicted about using it or not, but it turns out that a lot of folks still think of things as alternative medicine, and that's the first place they're going to look when they want information. But in fact, the more current terminology has become complementary and alternative medicine, or CAM, complementary alternative medicine, where people are recognizing more and more, most people aren't using things as an alternative to conventional medicine. They're using things in a complementary fashion, which means if I have hypertension, I'll probably still take my medication if it's prescribed, but I might also want to do some yoga or do some meditation to see if I can avoid the need for further medications or maybe even get rid of the medications. So the concept of something being alternative, where people are choosing completely to step away from conventional medicine, really doesn't happen much in our culture. And in fact, even complementary and alternative medicine, that terminology is starting to become outdated because more and more people are starting to use that terminology, integrative medicine. And that just means that we can integrate the best of conventional medicine and evidence-based alternative medicine and for the benefit of our patients.
I read a joke somewhere, and it might have been just in the process of preparing for today's interview, that doctors call it alternative medicine until they find out it works, and then it becomes medicine. What is the aversion that physicians have scientific researchers have with alternative, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, it was lack of understanding. Certainly when I went to medical school here at Mayo Medical School back in the early 80s, it wasn't something we were taught. We weren't taught about yoga or how to use dietary supplements or what the risks and benefits. So some of it's just a simple lack of familiarity. But in the last 20 years, as our patients keep using more and more of this, I think most physicians have kind of taken a cautious interest. We may not know enough, or we may not know everything we need to know, but we know our patients are using it, so we're getting more interested. I think where you see some of the hardcore resistance, or where you may still talk to a physician and get a very negative aspect, is sometimes not totally unreasonable. And by that I mean there are things in this realm that can actually harm patients. So, for example, there's been a couple well-documented cases of heart transplant rejection when a couple patients with heart transplants added St. John's wort, a very typical herb for depression. We use a lot of it, and most people do well with it, but it has a terrific opportunity to interact with other drugs. In these two different cases, it lowered the amount of the anti-rejection drugs to the point where patients experience heart transplant rejection. So I think sometimes the negative vibes we get from our colleagues is sometimes in response to the lack of sophistication some of us bring to our use of some of these things. Many things can be very safe and very effective, but there's also things that need to be treated with respect, especially in that realm of dietary supplements.
My guest is Dr. Brent Bauer. He's director of the Complementary and Integrative Medicine at Mayo Clinic. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Dr. Bauer is our guest this hour, and he's the editor of the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. He's the medical editor-in-chief, I should say. In the book, he says this text includes the best of both worlds because it ties natural therapies to conventional medicine. He says that today's new medicine is all about nurturing your mind, body, and spirit. Now, we need you to nurture 89.7 NPR News with a pledge. Make a pledge of $150, and we will send you the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. It's a hardcover book. It's a well-illustrated and laid out like a magazine. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $150 and support public radio. 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. We have $2,750 to go. I want to say thanks to Sandy and Howard in Columbus, and thanks also to Nicholas in Columbus, and thanks to David and Ann, also in Columbus. Thanks for your support of WOSU of 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you want to talk with Dr. Bauer, you are welcome. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. Harold in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm wondering if the book did any work in the area of prevention of diabetes relating to either herbs or natural treatments or supplements or any kind of exercise regimen, but anything in the way of prevention for diabetes.
Well, it's a great question, and it gives me an opportunity to kind of highlight. We made the whole first chapter really about prevention, not specifically for diabetes, but for all the things that are plaguing us in our culture, overweight, diabetes, heart disease. And so that first chapter really emphasizes the foundation of nutrition, exercise and stress management. And by that I mean we're really going to talk very carefully about a fairly Mediterranean diet, if you will, one that has very few processed foods, heavily emphasizing fruits and vegetables, and that's kind of a good foundation for any prevention program. Clearly, exercise has been shown in so many studies to do so many beneficial things, even down to the chromosomal level. Just walking 30 minutes a day can make your chromosomes healthier and happier. So when we look at those types of things, that's a very important part, because I think a lot of Americans try and jump too quickly. We look for something magical or kind of really cool, and we say, well, gee, there must be a supplement out there or an herb I can take. And then we find patients who are still smoking, not exercising, eating junk food, but taking lots of supplements like they think there's going to be some kind of magical effect. And I think it's very important we remember the foundation for what we're talking about is still kind of what we've always known, good exercise, good nutrition. But now we can start to bring in some of these things like mind-body modalities such as meditation, guided imagery, and then we can start to look at the selective use of dietary supplements. But I'm always careful not to make broad recommendations about dietary supplements, because everybody who's trying to prevent diabetes, each individual has a very different physiology, a very different body makeup. And so rather than making broad recommendations, we usually kind of give just more generic recommendations in the book, but then kind of focus our efforts more individually when we're working with patients one-on-one.
There is a section on diabetes in the book, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's another point. What the book does is take common, first of all, common modalities. So if you're interested in a specific herb, we cover most of the common herbs. But if you're interested in a specific condition, we cover a lot of common conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, and so forth. We also use a rating system, a little stoplight, red, yellow, and green. And what this gives is a quick synopsis of kind of what our take is on the level of evidence, how much efficacy has been proven, and how much risk there is. So something with a red light doesn't mean you can't take it. It just means there's probably some real high risks, or maybe the evidence isn't very strong. By the same token, a green light doesn't mean go ahead and take it willy-nilly. It means, hey, there's a lot of good evidence, seems to be pretty safe. But the idea with all the recommendations in the book is still to take that information and go back and talk to your primary care team and review that with them and make sure that there's not something unique about your current regimen that would be a contraindication to proceeding.
Thanks, Harold, for your call.
You're welcome.
You know, the point you're making, Dr. Bauer, about bringing it back to your primary health care team, what if your primary health care team is not where you're at right now and they don't like this and they don't want to talk about it? A lot of people are intimidated to bring this kind of information to their doctors. And one of the cautions in the book is that you really need to talk to your doctor and tell them what you're using. If you're using St. John's wort, or if you're using something, another kind of herbal remedy or herbal treatment, that they need to know that. But some people are afraid.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there are still physicians out there who tend to bark at patients who bring up these types of questions. And sometimes, at some point, you have to kind of look back and say, is that the right relationship? Because really, a physician and a patient really should be a team. Clearly, the physician has some teaching opportunities because of their knowledge base and so forth. But there's also learning opportunities on both sides. So whenever a patient comes to me with something I haven't heard about, my reflex isn't to yell at them or belittle their interest. We go together to the web and look at some reputable sites and try and get that information together. So I think the first question is, if you don't have a physician or whoever your primary care provider is being willing to listen to you, it might be time to think about a different provider. But having said that, I think a lot of times if you bring well-reasoned questions, you know, very specifically, I'm looking at I have diabetes, for example, and I've just read about this chromium is a dietary supplement that a lot of people use for diabetes. If I print a little bit of information and bring that to my next doctor appointment, a lot of time that's a much better place to start than just laundry list of 20 different things that I think I want to try because somebody down the street told me. So I think if we do a little homework and bring some specific questions, most physicians at least are going to be interested, and hopefully they'll be honest. If they don't know where those things fit, then it's time for them to kind of send you down to somebody who does. And most large academic centers now have integrative medicine centers or at least a pharmacist or physician who has some special expertise in these questions.
I guess one of the good things about the whole alternative medicine route is that it does ask people to take responsibility for themselves too.
Absolutely.
And get involved.
I think it's what makes it exciting to me, because to be honest, there's so much in this realm that doesn't require your physician to be involved. So in other words, if you want to start yoga, if you start gently and slowly and build up, you can do a great practice of yoga and incorporate that into your lifestyle. And the nice thing is, no physician is giving you a prescription for yoga or a pill for yoga. It's something you do for yourself. It's self-care. Same thing if you meditate every day. Same thing if you do Tai Chi or Qigong, guided imagery. So many of these things have such little risk, and yet we know that there is so many negative effects of stress. There's just been so many studies in the last 30 years. Stress reduces our immune function. Stress slows our healing processes. Stress increases inflammation in our body. Stress obviously harms the heart. As we go through that, as we go through that laundry list of things we know that are bad about stress, and I challenge all of your listeners, how many of you think we're less stressed today than we were 20 years ago? I think most of us would agree stress is a real problem. So then we have all these great tools that can supplement what we do with exercise and good nutrition. Now we can incorporate things for self-care, like doing a daily meditation practice or doing yoga or engaging in a Tai Chi class.
Or contributing to your local public radio station. I guarantee you, once you make that call, you'll feel a little bit better. The stress of listening to me pitch like this will lessen. You won't mind listening because you'll know in your heart you've done your part. So give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. We have $2,550 to go in this hour. Thanks to everybody for your support so far this morning. $2,550 to go, though. So we need you to pick up the phone right now and make the call, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher, and we cover topics from politics to the economy to medical issues. Today we are talking about incorporating alternative therapies into your daily life. Pledge $150 to our station, and we will thank you with the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. And remember, pledges of $60 or more gets you the WOSU member card, too. I use mine. It works. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $150 for this great and informative book. And thank you for your support. We are behind, and we're under a little stress ourselves over here at WOSU. So help us alleviate some of the stress we're feeling right now. Help us be healthier and make your show of support right now. 1-866-897-9678. And thank you for your support. Dr. Bauer, what is new and expanded in the second edition of this book?
Well, so a lot of the things that are new kind of center on the dietary supplements. And that's one of the challenges of doing herbal information in a book, because there is so much information that's just kind of exploding in the last 10 years. There's so much research going on that some of the things that we didn't have enough information to rate very highly before, we've moved up a bit. And maybe a few places where we found some things that are more risky than we thought, we might have moved down. So a lot of the updated information centers on dietary and herbal supplements. There's also been just, again, an explosion in the amount of interest in massage and mind-body type therapies. The NIH has sponsored a lot of large trials, and almost all the mind-body trials keep coming out positive, which makes me think that's where we're going to see a lot of the investment going in the future, and why we're so excited about getting patients engaged in some type of mind-body practice right along with their exercise, good nutrition.
I keep, you know, I've had programs now. It just seems like the whole issue of mind-body keeps slipping into a lot of different conversations, from eating disorders to all kinds of preventable diseases out there. The mind is sort of like the next great uncharted universe, it feels like.
I think you're right. I mean, we're just scratching the surface of what the brain does. And for example, we know just under stress, one part of the brain actually grows, and the more it grows, the more it facilitates the stress response.
Uh-huh.
This is where it becomes problematic, because we start to respond the same way to a real serious threat, like somebody coming at us with a knife, for example. But we activate the same stress response if we have a deadline or if we're stuck in traffic. And it's clearly not beneficial to our body to keep going through that route. But the more we spend in those little stressors, the more that part of the brain grows. It's called the amygdala. And the more that grows, the more it facilitates that. But we also now know from some of these really cutting-edge technologies where they can do functional MRI scans and special brain scans, we can actually demonstrate that if we do meditation on a regular basis, the front part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, can actually grow. And this is in contradistinction to what happens to most of us as we age. We tend to shrink, especially in the front part of the brain. There's been a number of studies, people who meditate for long periods of time over many years actually can grow that part of the brain. So I think we're just scratching the surface, but what it tells me is we should start treating stress much more like we treat hypertension and hyperlipidemia. We all know our cholesterol numbers. We know our blood pressure numbers. We're all kind of tuned to treating those, but most of us don't sit down and think, what's my stress number? And if we do, we don't typically then think, what's my strategy for dealing with that stress number?
614-292-8513. That's the number to call if you want to speak to our guest this hour, Dr. Brent Bauer. He is Director of Complementary and Integrative Medicine at the Mayo Clinic. You can also go online. You can go to email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Subhash from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. This is an interesting book. It seems like I haven't really looked at it yet, but in the past, when I've had any cough or cold really severe, I sometimes go to the doctors and they'll give me a Zithromax, like a three tablets, Z-Pak they call it. You're probably aware of that.
Yes.
And often it doesn't work. So that shows that it's not a bacterial infection, it's more of a virus infection. And one of my sister lives in town and she's pretty good in homeopathic medicine and she will give me some of the things and they will really work just in one or two dosages. And do you get into this homeopathic medicine chapters in this book at all, or you don't?
So we don't cover homeopathic medicine in much detail, and for the simple fact that there aren't that many scientific studies, in other words, peer-reviewed studies where they've done placebo-controlled trials. There are a few. Some have been negative, some have been positive. So whenever we don't have enough information to be very clear one way or the other, we kind of leave it at that level and say, well, there's conflicting evidence, and so we can't endorse it. We don't work against it. I think you raise an interesting point because homeopathic medication is very popular.
Could we say what that is, Dr. Bauer, first?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
so, homeopathy is a kind of a, it's an old school of medicine that was developed back in the 1800s. Excuse me. And it was actually founded on this idea that if you take a very, very small amount of something that at a higher dose would give you symptoms, at a very, very, very tiny dose, it would take care of those symptoms. And so homeopathic medicines are diluted, sometimes 10 or 100-fold, to the point where basically there's hardly any molecule of the original product left. And somehow the theory is that the energy of the compounds are left in the water, and then when you take that water under your tongue or take tablets composed of that, you get these effects. So it doesn't fit very nicely into a Western scientific model, and that's one reason that it doesn't get a lot of traction with most physicians. But having said that, many of the things that people use homeopathy for tend to be self-limited. And so in other words, a lot of the upper respiratory infections, as the caller's alluding to, a lot of these things will take care of themselves. So sometimes it's not the antibiotic, maybe it's not the homeopathic medication. Sometimes we're just letting the body do its own work and healing itself. So I think
in a situation when you have a really severe cough and cold, is it not a good idea, not knowing whether it's bacterial or virus, is it not a good idea to just take both and let it work? Because one of the ways it will work out, right?
Without a good research study, you know, to kind of show that, then I have to be cautious that I don't start saying things that are just my opinion. So in that situation, it really comes down to a personal choice. And what we do with our patients, when they ask questions like that, we sit down and say, okay, well, what are the evidence? Do we have a lot of knowledge about whether it's safe to do this combination? Does the combination work? And then if we can't find any evidence to say yes or no, then we kind of look and say, well, is there any evidence that it's going to be risky? Will this hurt you, or is there a good chance it will hurt you? And if the answer is no, then it becomes a personal decision. The patient's making an informed decision. And so I have many patients who choose to use homeopathic medicine by itself in combination. And obviously some of them get very good benefits. Some don't get much benefit, and some get no benefit at all. But I think that's a fairly typical response to many of the conventional treatments we have, too.
Thank you so much.
Subhash, thank you for your call, and thanks for listening. We have an email from Diane, and Diane makes the point, first of all, I have already supported WOSU during the drive. Thank you for all you do. I don't know what I would do without NPR and news all day. And Diane, thanks for your support. You do not have to show your support to send an email, though, so you can go ahead and do that at allsides@wosu.org. And you can also call us at 614-292-8513. We have $2,100 to go in just about 30 minutes exactly, thanks to Mark in New Albany, and thanks to Jennifer in Columbus. Thank you so much for your support at the $150 level. Today, our gift to you is the book, the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine, the second edition. That's what we're talking about today with Dr. Brent Bauer. He's the Director of Complementary and Integrative Medicine at the Mayo Clinic. So make the call, 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org. It just takes a few minutes to make that call or go online and give us the information we need to show your support for 89.7 NPR News, All Sides, and everything else that we bring to you every single day, 7 days a week. Now, to continue the email from Diane, she says, now a question. I am at the beginning stages of osteoporosis and just started taking medication and more calcium supplements. I have always taken yoga classes, but instead of going to class just once a week, I am now going three times a week. Is there anything else I could be doing?
Well, it sounds like she's doing all the right things. We know, well, first of all, I shouldn't say that. We also want to make sure we're getting plenty of calcium, which I think has been pretty well understood. But the other thing that's become very interesting, and it comes out of the alternative medicine realm, but is now becoming mainstream, is vitamin D. We're seeing just an incredible vitamin D deficiency kind of epidemic, if you will. And I think part of that is because we've taught everybody to stay out of the sun. And so we're not getting as much sun as we used to, and now we're seeing lower levels of vitamin D. And vitamin D obviously has a critical role to play in keeping her bones strong. So I think any woman who wants to try and keep her bones as strong as possible naturally should be looking at calcium intake, vitamin D intake, and then as this writer alludes to, some type of weight-bearing exercise, and yoga can be perfect for that. And that combination usually is going to take care of a lot of people, but obviously you still have to work with your doctor, and sometimes genetics and other things make the bones thinner that you still have to look at medications. But that's a great place to start, but I think emphasizing the role of vitamin D is something we're going to hear more and more in the next 5 years.
Thank you very much, Diane, for your email, and thanks for your support for WOSU and 89.7 NPR News. We have $1,950 to go. Thank you to Tim in Columbus. Show your support now, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. It takes just a minute. We're talking about the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. Our guest is Dr. Brent Bauer. He is the medical editor-in-chief of the book. It's our thank you gift to you at the $150 pledge level. I want to impress upon you, though, that it doesn't have to be $150. It could be less. It can be whatever you can afford. If you can afford more, we could really use it this time. We're running behind and we need your help. But if you can afford just $1 a week, that's fine, too. We appreciate your support. It's a vote of support. It's the way to show us with your pocketbook that you care about your public media radio station, WOSU. From acupuncture to yoga to St. John's Wort, Mayo Clinic provides answers to the most pressing questions people have about alternative medicine. This book brings natural therapies and conventional medicine together, and it's a beautiful, fully illustrated book. It takes things like ginkgo, vitamin C, and Pilates and gives their take on which is Mayo Clinic's opinion on how it works and what it takes. It's actually called Our Take in the book, though. The book includes a list of 10 disease-fighting foods and lists 7 benefits of exercise. It also has tips for better sleeping and discusses hands-on therapies like massage, and it goes through the different ailments such as diabetes or depression or different things like that in an alphabetical way. It's easy to use for anybody. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU and show your support right now. We really need your help, and we appreciate anything you can offer us. And Nathan in Springfield, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice conversation going on. I'm a neurologist, and a comment and a question. A quick comment is that doctors are not aware of the benefits of complementary medicine, so they need to incorporate what Dr. Bauer has, what extensive research he has in all the residency training programs so that the residents and the staff can see the benefits and they can incorporate in their patients. So it should be part of the training program, which most training programs is not the case. Question on resveratrol in grapeseed. Can the doctor comment, please?
Well, sure. And let me go over to your first comment because I want to echo that, the idea that we need to incorporate this in our training. So I'll put a plug in for the Consortium of Academic Health Centers for Integrative Medicine. And this is a group now of 44 medical schools. It includes Mayo Medical School, Harvard, Duke, University of Arizona, University of California, San Francisco, et cetera. So a lot of nice, well-respected academic centers, all which have incorporated into their medical schools training in integrative medicine, looking at things like research, education, and practice. So I think there is a growing body of evidence that we need to incorporate this, and it is starting to come into our training programs more and more. So I want to echo that and put a plug in for the Consortium of Academic Health Centers for Integrative Medicine. In regards to the question of resveratrol, this is a compound that's found in the seed or the skins of red grapes, for example, and a few other fruits. It's been shown to be a very powerful antioxidant, and at super high levels in mice, for example, it's been shown to help deal with obesity, help prevent aging, and do just some really tremendous things that has sparked a great interest in patients who are taking resveratrol by the buckets off the shelf. What we're lacking right now are good human trials to show that the results we got in mice will be the same as we get in humans. So there's a little bit of a cart before the horse, or maybe the horse before the cart question here. So like many things in the dietary supplement realm, just because we have great information in animal studies doesn't necessarily mean we should rush out to the stores and buy pounds of it and start taking it. Because sometimes we get into trouble with that approach, beta-carotene being a good example, where 10 years ago, 15 years ago, very popular antioxidant. Mm-hmm. Then they did a large study where at very high doses it actually increased the risk of cancer. So I'm not suggesting that's going to be the case with resveratrol, but it does mean we should be a little more cautious before we hear something in mice and then go out and put it into our own bodies.
Dr. Bauer, are you content that enough studies are being done on all these things? Because it seems like most of the money in our country goes to the pharmaceutical industry for studies.
Well, there's no question. When you look at the studies that we can do on any of these dietary supplements or even our meditation studies or massage studies, we're often lucky if we can get enough funding to include 50, maybe 100 patients. When you look at the studies that are done on drugs, oftentimes we're talking about 1,000 or 5,000 patients. So that's one of the challenges. Even when we have good research, it's often such a small nature that it's kind of hard to be very definitive. So we have lots of little studies on some of these dietary supplements, lots of small studies on meditation, or lots of small studies on acupuncture, but it's hard to get those 5,000 patient studies on the type of funding that's out there. NIH has a center called the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. Mm-hmm. It's one of the smallest, I think it is the smallest center at NIH. It doesn't have a lot of funding, so it does what it can. But at the end of the day, this is one of the challenges. Small studies that just don't have enough funding to be done at a large scale where we could get some definitive answers.
Nathan?
Taking resveratrol then?
I'm sorry, could you repeat your question, Nathan?
You would not recommend taking resveratrol?
So one of the things I never do is never recommend dietary supplements broadly because, again, I think each individual has unique circumstances. So it depends on you as an individual or the patient as an individual. But for a broad recommendation, I would not, simply because I haven't seen those large studies with maybe 500 patients followed for 2 or 3 or 4 years. When we have those studies, then we're going to know if there's any hidden side effects. Maybe there's some benefits we haven't even thought about, but I definitely want to see that type of studies before I can endorse something broadly.
Thank you, Nathan. 614-292-8513. That is the number to call if you want to speak with our guest, Dr. Brent Bauer. He is the medical editor-in-chief of the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. That's our gift to you at the $150 level. That's been such a great conversation. I almost forgot. We're trying to raise some money for our station so that we can continue to offer you the kind of programming that you've come to expect at 89.7 NPR News. I want to say thanks to Ross in Columbus. We have $1,800 to go and just about 20 minutes. We can do it. We can get to our goal this hour and hopefully exceed it, because we need to start exceeding some of these goals. We're running behind overall in the fundraising process this week. We end it Friday evening, no matter what, but we really would like to end up meeting our goal so that we can continue to bring you the kind of programming you enjoy. Today, we're talking with Dr. Brent Bauer. He is the Director of Complementary and Integrative Medicine at the Mayo Clinic. It is a world-famous healthcare facility. And the book that's been put out, it's the second edition of the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. That's our gift to you, our thank you gift to you at the $150 level. I want to remind you, this is All Sides with Dan Fisher, and this is listener-supported, 89.7 NPR News. Dr. Bauer is our guest this hour, and in the book, our goal this hour, just to remind you, is $3,000. We have $1,800 left to go before the end of the hour. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. With a membership to 89.7 NPR News, you will be supporting public radio and supporting all sides. And this hour only, we are offering you the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. This book is easy to understand and accessible. It will tell you what works and what doesn't work in the world of natural medicine, what we know and what we don't quite know enough about yet. Pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to our secure server at WOSU.org and pledge $150. If you can manage it, 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher, and if public radio is an important part of your day, then we need to hear from you. If your day is not complete without Morning Edition and All Things Considered, BBC NewsHour, All Sides with Dan Fisher, and on and on and on, then you are a true public radio loyal listener. Make a pledge of $150 right now. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. The book at the $150 pledge level is our gift to you, but really every dollar makes a difference. Our pledges come in all shapes and sizes. Pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org and tell us what size fits you, because public radio pretty much fits everybody. Thanks for your support of 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for your support of WOSU. And Doug, you're on the road. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question for the doctor about cholesterol. I have inherited high cholesterol, and I'm doing a pretty good job of treating it with fish oil, a product called Cholestol, which has, I think it's called plant stetols or sterols or something like that, and diet and exercise. I am wondering, though, this is my the week of my birthday, and I tend to give myself permission to go off my diet in some pretty significant ways on my birthday. I'm kind of wondering, does cheating on a cholesterol diet for one or two days do anything long-term to cholesterol treatment?
Well, it's a great question, and happy birthday in advance. It's a good question, and I think we have to be honest. Very few of us are perfect, and I think if you set that goal that you'll never, ever, ever do a birthday cake or, you know, whatever your passion happens to be, it frustrates us. It tends to make people give up on good nutrition, and it kind of sets us up for failure. So I think it's a much healthier idea to say, you know what, once a week or once a month or for special occasions, I'm going to allow myself to have my favorite food or maybe a larger portion size. If we're doing good nutrition, we're following a really plant-based diet most of the time, we're eating healthy fruits and vegetables, lots of different colors, and we're doing that 90% of the time, I guarantee you we take care of most of America's health problems. So I don't want to encourage you to overindulge, but I do think, you know, on occasion or even once a week to have one meal where you're not counting calories or worrying, sometimes that's enough of a freedom to kind of make it all seem worthwhile and keep us going.
All right. Thank you very much. That's a bigger piece of cake for me.
Happy birthday, Doug.
Thank you, man.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 614-292-8513. That's the number to call if you want to ask a question of or get a comment to Dr. Brent Bauer. He is the Director of Complementary and Integrative Medicine at the Mayo Clinic. We have $1,650 to go thanks to Stephen and Barbara in Columbus. Now it's time to show your support For WOSU, make the call 1-866-897-9678. We have $1,650 to go, and we have just about 15 minutes left. Please pick up the phone, make that call, or if you're listening online, it's just a click of the button to WOSU.org. Go over and there's a button that says something like support WOSU, or let's see, donate now. That is the little voice in my ear. Donate now. Go to that button, click it, and donate now. At the $150 level, our gift to you is the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine, but give whatever you can. 1-866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. And Jerome in Marysville, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann and Dr. Bauer. I've got a question, way of an anecdote. My wife was recently hospitalized at OSU Medical Center and received terrific, you know, care. The interesting thing we discovered was that there is a center for integrative medicine. And from our experience, it's not at all integrated into the medicine of OSU. It's often its own little facility. None of them ever came to visit us and recommend treatment. The doctors never said anything about it. One of our neighbors came to visit and said, you know, by the way, there's a great acupuncture practitioner in the Center for Integrated Medicine. And we had to ask the doctors about it. What concerns me is this is sort of a symptom of what happens in academia in general, using labels like integrative, when academia is not very integrated at all.
Dr. Bauer, how does it operate at Mayo? How do you get integrated? And thank you, Jerome, for the call.
Yeah,
good question.
And Jerome, that's a beautiful question, because I think there's been a lot of missteps along the way, and I'm not going to criticize them, because I think we were learning 10 years ago. So a lot of places, a lot of academic centers actually got large gifts from benefactors, and you know, here's $10 million, do something in this, you know, funky new realm of alternative medicine. So a lot of places built centers, they built places off the campuses. They put the, quote, funny people, unquote, over there, and then they used a different chart. They didn't use the same ordering system, and so it did become kind of siloed. And I don't fault the places that did that, because we didn't, you know, at least they were starting us in the right path. Now, I think what you're seeing more in some of the more recent developments, for example, here at Mayo, our practice, we didn't have that large gift to start with, so we had to start very small and organic, and we went where the practice kind of opened the doors for us. So we live within the internal medicine department at Mayo Clinic, and that means that we have our acupuncturists in the same hallways as our general internist. They use the same basic rooms, slightly, you know, modified a little bit, but they order off the same charts. They dictate into the same charts. So on a small scale, it's completely integrated. You don't go somewhere different. It's part of the practice. But even here in this large institution, not every physician is fully aware of everything we have to offer. And some of this is just a matter of education and learning. And so I think places like OSU or other places where sometimes they're not totally integrated, at least they're stepping in the right direction. And I think what's going to change that from being kind of a siloed approach where you had to ask for it is patient demand. This is a grassroots thing. This is not coming from medicine down to the patients. This is coming from patients up. And so as your wife experienced her hospitalization and you didn't get everything you might have gotten out of that hospitalization, you're going to have a conversation that's going to talk to 10 or 15 people. They're going to talk to 10 or 15 people. And eventually that will get more noticed at that particular institution. And I bet you in a couple of years you're going to see it a lot more integrated than it is right now. But they'll come from patients.
We still have $1,650 to go, and I want to get those volunteers something to do that makes them feel good about what they're doing and donating their time to WOSU to answer the phones. 1-866-897-9678. If we hear from 10 more listeners before the end of the hour, we will meet the goal. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Online pledges count as well. We still have $1,650 to go, though, and only just about 10 minutes. So please pick up the phone and make that call or go online right away and make the call and make your pledge right away so we can meet the goal this hour. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org at the $150 pledge level. Our gift to you this hour is the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. We're talking to Dr. Brent Bauer. He's the medical editor-in-chief of the book. If you're enjoying this conversation, please show your support and tell us that you enjoy it by picking up the phone and making that show of support now. If you've already made your pledge during the spring drive, I just want to say thank you to you. Thanks very much, and I bet you you're enjoying the program a lot more knowing that you've made your pledge. And if the rest of you pick up the phone and make the pledge right now, I can practically promise you your stress level will go down. You'll feel better about yourself because you're supporting a really important part of your community and an important part of your life. I want to tell you a little bit more about the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. It has tips for better sleeping and discusses hand-on therapies like massage. Chapter 8 of the book includes treatments for 20 common conditions. Each treatment includes a conventional treatment and then the complementary and alternative treatment. Learn about treatments for arthritis, depression, hay fever, as we mentioned earlier, diabetes, and more. This book is about nurturing your mind, body, and spirit, something we could all use. Not just a little bit more, a lot more. So this book will be a step in the right direction, and it's at the $150 pledge level, our gift to you. We are behind in this drive. The drive ends on Friday, and we need to pick up the pace of giving. So do it now. Don't wait. 1-866-897-9678, or go online and pledge at WOSU.org. We have $1,500 to go. Nine more calls or web pledges, and we'll make our goal. We have just $1,500 to go. Please be one of those nine callers right now. Pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678. I feel kind of invigorated asking you for money right now because I know it's important. It doesn't make me feel badly, but I sure would feel a lot better if people would pick up the phone and make that call, and I can promise you, you'll feel better too. And this hour is all about feeling better. We do have someone who called and didn't want to speak on the air. She wants to know about insomnia. How can complementary medicine treat chronic insomnia? I'm going to ask Dr. Brent Bauer to answer that question, or at least to address it. That's what we do on WSU. We talk about these kinds of things, politics, the environment, medicine, culture, all kinds of things. If this is the sort of programming that interests you, then tell us 1-866-897-9678 or go online at WOSU.org. We have $1,500 to go. We need nine more calls or web pledges. Be one of those nine and give what you can. Dr. Brent Bauer, what about that question about insomnia? How can complementary medicine treat chronic insomnia? Do you have any ideas?
Oh, absolutely. We could do a whole show on this. It's a great question. It's a very common problem. Like everything in this realm, we always start with what's the basics, and the basics with insomnia always go back to how much aerobic exercise are we getting during the day, because that's one of the big drivers for how well we sleep at night. Then we look at sleep hygiene. You know, is the room quiet? Do we have blackout shades to keep the light out and so forth? Are we not exercising too close to bedtime, because that can affect sleep? Are we eating too close to bedtime? That can affect sleep. Even caffeine we drink in the afternoon can have a big impact on sleep, especially if we're older. But once we get past all that, then does integrative medicine have anything else to offer? And the answer is yes. There's all kinds of cool guided imagery CDs that you can listen to half an hour before you're going to bed, and it'll kind of walk you through a progressive relaxation approach that a lot of people find very helpful. Just do a Google search for guided imagery, sleeplessness or insomnia. You'll find lots of cool ones. Certainly many people find just a meditation program, getting into that 15 minutes before bedtime can be very helpful. Dietary supplements, something you can talk to your primary care team about, would be things like melatonin. Some people find valerian to be helpful. Some people find chamomile tea. Of course, all these things are discussed in the book in greater detail, but I think the opportunity to build on what we already know from a conventional standpoint, add many of these therapies, a lot of fun.
1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Thanks very much to Jane in Columbus. We need eight more calls this hour. We have 6 minutes. Eight calls in 6 minutes. I know we can do it. Just pick up the phone right now and give what you can. That's all we need is what you can afford to give. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make that pledge online. It takes just a few minutes. You'll still have time to hear the rest of the show if you make that call right now.
So, Anne, can I give you a super secret gift for those who haven't given yet?
Okay.
So MayoClinic.com is our website for Mayo Clinic, obviously, but on there we have a lot of information about integrative medicine. And if people who haven't donated yet, they can get the super secret code, which is go to MayoClinic.com and do a search on meditation. And we actually have a little 7-minute guided relaxation that's free, and we'll get people introduced to some of these concepts that we've been talking about just to kind of get their toes dipped into it. So that's obviously available to anybody, but I thought maybe we could juice it up by making it super secret for the last 5 minutes.
All right. You know about MayoClinic.com now. Of course, we'll post that at our website at WOSU.org. I want to take one more call real quick, Dan. We need 7 more calls or clicks to get to our goal this hour, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. And Dan in Columbus, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an excellent program.
Thank you.
Just a question about the testing of all the various vitamins and other supplements out there, especially the herbal supplements out there on the market. I understand in Europe they do a pretty good job, or have started to do a pretty good job, on testing those things, and I understand that for the most part, that's not done here in the United States, and you may or may not be getting what you think you're buying. Can you comment on that and any recommendations what to do about that?
Thanks, Dan.
Dan, and this is why a lot of physicians were very skeptical about dietary supplements in the last 20 years, because absolutely many things reached our shelves that were impure, adulterated, had things they shouldn't have had. So people got harmed by a lot of things that just weren't very good quality. Now, what's changed as of 2010, the FDA came out with something called Good Manufacturing Practices, and this requires that anybody who's selling, importing, or basically manufacturing dietary supplements in the United States has to be able to show the quality, kind of from where they harvested it, how they processed it, all the way to how it got into the bottle on the shelf. Now, that's a big task. There's a lot of manufacturers out there. The FDA has a fairly small amount of energy to devote to this, but at least now I think we're starting to approach more the quality of Europe, where many of the herbs are standardized and licensed. So you still have to do your homework. You can still look for third-party labels, look for large manufacturers, but more and more I think our FDA is going to help us be able to, what we pull off the shelf will actually have what it says on the label.
I want to say thanks to Gloria in Columbus. We need 6 more calls. We have about 2.5 minutes to go. 6 more calls in 2.5 minutes. So now we need 5 more calls. I know we can get 5 more calls in 2.5 minutes. I just need 5 more people to pick up the phone and make that call, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Make that call right now. Let's make the goal this hour. Let's start pushing forward and get us to where we need to be by Friday so that we can continue to bring you what you enjoy so much about public radio at WOSU and 89.7 NPR News. Just 5 more calls. We have 2 more minutes. 1-866-897-9678. The Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine is our gift to you at the $150 pledge level. From acupuncture to yoga to St. John's wort, Mayo Clinic provides answers to the most pressing questions people have about alternative medicine. Our guest this hour, Dr. Brent Bauer, is the medical editor-in-chief of the Mayo Clinic Book of Alternative Medicine. He is the director of complementary and integrative medicine at the Mayo Clinic. It's world famous for it as a healthcare facility, but it's had a long time relationship with alternative and complementary therapies. That's what we're talking about this hour. We could easily be talking about this topic with or without the pledge drive, but that's the kind of thing we bring to you day in and day out on WOSU. We need 4 more calls, 1-866-897-9678. Dr. Bauer, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. 1-866-897-9678. We need 4 more calls. We have almost 45 seconds to go. Or go online to WOSU.org and show your support right now. Help us meet this goal this hour. Thank you for listening, and thanks for your support. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.